woodblock printmaker David Ball. Welcome again to the A Story a Week website. This is story number 101, England to India in 2 months, part 1. In recent years, I have been leaving quite a paper trail behind me. Here on A Story a Week, in the newsletter that I write for my print subscribers, and in the essays section of my website, I'm constantly chatting about various things that happened to me. As a result of all this storytelling, people in years to come, I'm thinking of grandchildren, will perhaps have quite a good idea of what my life was like. I find myself wishing that some of my own ancestors had done the same thing, so that I could get to know them at least a little bit. Earlier this summer, when I was visiting my folks over in Vancouver, I got a chance to do just that, when my mother gave me a photocopy of a small journal prepared by her stepfather back in 1917, during the First World War. He was a private in the British Army, and this 20-page journal describing his journey from England to India on a troop ship makes fascinating reading. Let's dip into it this week and next with a few excerpts. On Sunday the 18th, the anchor was drawn at 7:30 p.m. and our long journey had commenced. We watched the shores of Old England until they were out of sight, and then turned in for the night. But it was a bit rough, and we were swinging to and fro in our hammocks all through the night. Their ship, the Kenilworth Castle, was a passenger liner commandeered by the government, and was carrying 1,500 soldiers and 400 sailors, plus the ship's crew. There was an extreme danger of being torpedoed by German submarines, so their convoy took evasive routes as they headed south down the west side of Africa. Very pleasant sailing. It was very hot, and we had to start casting our clothes. Early morning, 4 o'clock, we had a bath in salt water on the deck, then back to breakfast. Also on this day, we started walking about with our feet bare, something I have never done before. But nobody can see us. The first part of their journey, England to Cape Town, took exactly 4 weeks, so it was important for them to create their own entertainment on board. We started the sports in which all the different regiments on board took part. We had also tug-of-war, sack races, and cockfighting contests during the day. They made one port stop on the way to South Africa, at Sierra Leone, to take on food, including fresh fruit. The native dealers were sending small boats loaded with fruit to the ships. We had a bit of fun with the natives who came round our ship, having them diving into the water for coins that were thrown in, and they hardly ever missed them. There were many ships in the convoy, and with so many people on board for such a long time, it was inevitable that there would be quite a few events like this. This morning, one of the ships left us and went some distance away, then hoisted the flag at half-mast, so we found out that it was a burial at sea. We had another funeral yesterday, making the 6th on our journey. We had to take all our kit and belongings onto the deck until the ship's crew disinfected the lower decks, as there were 1 or 2 cases of disease found. After arriving at Cape Town, they were allowed some shore leave. What did they do after being cooped up on board for 4 weeks? We could go where we liked, only we had to be back at a certain time. Well, I and 3 others wandered into the rose gardens, where there were all kinds of rose trees, and stayed there about 30 minutes. Then we fell in again and were marched back to the ship to dinner. But I wonder if that was perhaps all he felt able to write in a journal that he planned to be sending home to his wife later. We'll read a few more excerpts next week. The next section of his journey was not as calm as the first leg.